Well, listen, let's get our Bibles open. We're going to go jump into Jeremiah 29:11. I know it's a familiar verse of Scripture, but I want to read this tonight. And you know, the devil tries to keep us from being able to fulfill God's purpose and plan that God has for our lives. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. But Jeremiah 29, we're going to begin at verse 11. And this is, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and to give you a future." And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. That's good news. How many know that's good news? Amen. God's got a plan. It's a good plan. And it's not for evil, but it's to give us a hope and to give us a future. Amen. And it says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Man, what a promise from God, that God said that when we come and when we pray and we call upon him, he's going to listen to us. Amen. Verse 13, "And you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your hearts," with all of your hearts. I want us to pray. Let's bow our heads right now. Father, thank you so much that we can come into your house tonight and worship you. And I pray, God, that your spirit will just move upon us, and God, give us revelation and understanding concerning your plans and purposes that you have for us in our lives. And so, Father, I pray right now that in Jesus' name, God, that you give your people victory in the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, I kind of want to just talk a little bit tonight in regards to recognizing who you are. Some of this is elementary, but you know, some things we just need to go over and get it and just raise it up in our spirits and in our lives. Amen. Because listen, God wants to unlock the plan that he has for you. How many believe that God's got a plan for you? Amen. And he wants to unlock that plan. But you know, sometimes we can hinder God from being able to fulfill what he wants to fulfill in our lives. And just simply because we just don't recognize who he's created us to be and who we are now in him. Amen. And so, and a lot of times, you know, when we pray, and I don't know if this is with y'all, but I know sometimes, you know, when people pray, they're looking for God to do the work for us, you know, and, you know, sometimes he wants us to seek him so that he can reveal to us a strategy so that we can see the breakthrough that's necessary in our lives. Amen. How many know God wants us to grow up in him? Amen. And so God wants to give us a plan. He wants to give us a method. He wants to help us to achieve the goal that he has for us in our lives. Amen. And so so to live victoriously, because that's what we're going to kind of talk a little bit about tonight, is learning and walking victoriously. To live victoriously over the devil, we're going to have to recognize who we are in Christ. Amen. And so there's something that's changed in you. I don't know if you realize it, but there's something that's changed in you now that you've become a Christian. Amen. Now that you've become born again. And I want to go to 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, verse 17. Because listen, without understanding who you are by virtue of the new birth, what happens is that Satan keeps you in bondage to what Christ has set you free from. You know, and you know, as a pastor over the years, there's just so many people that I've known I mean, they love God, they've given their heart to the Lord, but yet they find themselves still in some type of bondage, some kind of hold that the enemy has had in their life. And I believe sometimes we just need to know who we are so that we can rise up above those circumstances and situations and step into that plan that God has for us. Because, you know, we read it in Jeremiah, and it says, listen, the plans that God has for us, they're good. Amen. I believe God's got a good plan for us. They're not for evil, to give you a hope, to give you a future. I want that. I want to understand his fullness, his desires for me. I want you to understand the desires that he has for you. Amen. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says something. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature or a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So one thing that you need to understand in regards to who you are is that you've become a new creation. Amen. I know that's something that's simple and something that we should know, something that's basic. But, you know, a lot of times we don't recognize that things have changed in us. Amen. Now that we've become a Christian. Amen. And because you've been born again, you've become a completely new creation that God has made. Amen. And so this new status, in other words, it gives you access into God's class. Not that we're gods, but, you know, the Bible refers to us as sons of God. Amen. And so we need to recognize who we are as believers so that we can walk in the victory. Amen? When you got born again, it wasn't an adjustment of your old life. Come on, listen to what I'm saying. When you got born again, it wasn't just God adjusting your old life. Okay? When you got born again, you became a total different new being. You know, and we need to understand that, and we need to recognize. Listen, the old Chuck's no longer around. There's a new Chuck that's come forth. Amen? And so you need to understand that old you is no longer around. We're talking about learning how to walk in victory and be able to step into the plans that God has for you. Amen? That are not evil, but that are good. Amen? And so you've become a whole new status of being. You know, John 1 verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become sons of God, to those that believe upon his name. And you were not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but you've been born of God. Amen? So the scripture says that what's happened, and when we've received him, Larry, when we've received Christ into our hearts, we've become the children of God. Amen? Now let me tell you, when you start getting an understanding of that you've become a child of God, man, the devil has to let some things go in your life. He can't hold you down the way he used to hold you down. Amen? You're not who you used to be. Come on. You're not who you used to be. You're now a son of God. Amen? So God has become your real father. Come on. God has become your real father. Amen? And you've become his real child. And so we need to really get that into our spirits and recognize that you've now become the offspring of God. I mean, when you start thinking like that, I'm telling you, it causes the devil to tremble. I mean, the demons start to back up. Amen? And so, in other words, you have a new nature. You have a new life. You have a new spirit that's taken place in your life. You go to Ezekiel 36, chapter verse 26. It says, a new heart will I give you. Come on. A new heart will I give you. It says, a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Verse 27 of Ezekiel 36. It says, and I will put my spirit within you. Come on, think about it. God said, I'm going to put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments, and you shall do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I have given to your father, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Look, we're talking victory, amen? Come on, we're talking being able to overcome the circumstances and situations of life. But see, you got to know who you are. If you don't see yourself as a new creation, if you don't see yourselves now as the offspring of God, that you've been born again, amen? I know that seems simple, but understand, everything that God has, he's now made it available to you. You know, my offspring, Chuck, he can have whatever I have because he's my offspring. I'm saying that because he's not in here. My grandkids, they're part of my offspring. They can have whatever I have. And let me tell you, they come over and they think they can have whatever they want. Why? Because their thinking is that we're part of this family. Amen? And we need to think like that as sons and daughters of God. Amen? Ephesians 2 verse 4 says this, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love wherewith he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he's made us alive together with Christ. By grace we're saved, and he's raised us up together. Come on. He's raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In other words, you have now been restored to your former place of authority and dominion. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to restore our former place of authority and dominion. I mean, when Adam was created in the garden, he had authority over all the earth. He lost it, but Jesus was who? The second Adam, that's what the Bible teaches. And he came to do what? He came to restore all things. And so, guys, you need to understand, you've been restored to a former place of authority. Amen? You've been declared to be now more than a conqueror through Christ. Why? Because you're a new creature. You have a new status. You're now sons of God. Come on. Man, don't let the devil tell you that you're anything else but that. He's going to try to tell you that you're everything else but that. But you're a child of God. Amen? You're a child of God. You're a new being. Amen? You have the nature, the life, the Spirit of God. God said it in His Word. Amen? He said that He's come and given us a new spirit. He's put His Spirit in us. Amen? Now, what we need to do is we need to believe that. Amen? We need to believe that. Hallelujah. Scripture says we've been translated. We've been translated. In other words, when you were born again, you were translated. You were moved into the kingdom of God. In other words, you were transferred from one place to another. Amen? You were taken from one place and you were brought to another place. Colossians 1:13 says, He's delivered us. Come on, listen to that. He's delivered us from the powers of darkness. And He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And He's taken us from one place, from darkness, and He's brought us into light. That's why He says now you and I, we're to walk in the light. Amen? So now we're part of the family of God. We've been translated. We've been transferred. I mean, we've been moved from one place to the other. I'm no longer part of darkness. I'm now part of the light. I'm now part of the kingdom of God. He has no access to that kingdom, the devil. Amen? He has no access to you. Only what you allow Him to have access to. To understand, God's kingdom is a kingdom of light. Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of darkness. You ever notice? Even in the natural, you turn on the light and what happens? The darkness flees. Come on. You turn on the light and the darkness flees. I don't care how dark it is, but if you turn on the light, the darkness is going to go. Guys, all we need to do is we need to understand that we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and we're now in the kingdom of light. So when the devil comes against you, you just need to tell him, hey, I've been translated. I'm no longer part of your kingdom. Amen? So wherever you find the devil operating, guys, you got to cast him out. You got to eject him. Mark 16, verse 17 says this, and these signs will accompany those that believe. He says, in my name, you're going to drive out devils. You're going to speak with new tongues. In the King James, it says, you shall cast out devils. And it's a Greek word, ekbeko, and what it means to eject. It means to eject. It's the idea to drive out. Guys, listen, you now have the authority to drive out the devil. In other words, wherever you find him operating, because listen, wherever you find him operating, God's given you the authority to eject him. Amen? See, it's one thing to be translated. It's another thing to live your life knowing that you've been translated. Come on, when the devil tries to come and create darkness around my life, listen, I'm supposed to have the authority to drive him out. When the enemy comes and tries to create darkness around your life, you have the authority to drive him out. Amen? So you need to understand that you've been translated. Not only are you a new creation, I mean a totally different being. You're not what you used to be. You've now become a child of God. You're sons of God. Amen? But you've been translated. You're no longer of Satan's kingdom any longer. You're no longer to walk in darkness. You've been brought into the light. You've been raised up with Christ. And you now have the authority to drive him out, to drive the devil out when he shows up at your home, when he shows up against your family, when he comes against your marriage, when he comes against your health, when he comes against your finances. You have the authority to drive him out in Jesus' name. Why? Because you're a son of God. Amen? You're also peculiar. Look at your neighbor. Come on. Say, I knew that. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:9. Listen to what it says. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So guys, you're peculiar. Amen? And that's not a bad thing. Amen? In other words, it's actually speaking about the fact that you're a treasure of God's. You're God's treasure. Amen? In other words, you're different. Listen, we're not supposed to be like the world. We've been changed. Amen? You're God's treasure now. In other words, you're now a special breed. Come on. So don't act like you used to act. Come on, let's live for God. Let's act as sons. Amen? We're a chosen generation. So you're peculiar. Amen? You're a treasure in the sight of God. Amen? Don't let the devil ever shortchange you and make you think that you're nothing, that you're insignificant, because you're not insignificant. You're special to the Lord. Amen? You're unique. There's only one of you. Amen? I know some people will say, man, thank God that. But you know, you know what I'm saying? But there's only one of you. And you're special. That's correct. You're special. Amen? Zechariah, the second chapter, verse 8. I mean, guys, you gotta see yourself as a winner. Come on, you got to see yourself as a winner. You got to see yourself victorious. Listen, there's no defeat in God. You know that? There's no defeat in God. There's no failure in God. Amen? It's not possible for God to be defeated. Huh? Do you know that? It's not possible for God to be defeated. And if God dwells in you, and if God lives in you, and you're God's child, then that means it's impossible for you to be defeated. Amen? In other words, you're produced after his kind. Remember in the book of Genesis, it says, let us make man in our image, and after our likeness, let us make man. And he formed man out of the dust of the ground. He breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So you've been produced after God. So by birth, by virtue of your new birth, God's declared you a winner. Now everybody else may have declared you a failure, but I'm telling you, God's declared you a winner. Amen? Listen to this. There's no battle that you cannot win. Come on, listen to that. There's no battle that you can't win. You can win every battle. Why? Because you're a peculiar people. You're God's treasure. You've been translated out of darkness and then you've been brought into the light. Satan has no more power over you. You're a new creation in Christ. You're a new breed. Hallelujah. And understand that God, he's committed to your success. I don't know if you've thought about this, but God, he's committed to your success. There is no limit to what God will do to give you the victory. We just got to trust him. That doesn't mean you might not have hard times. It doesn't mean that you might not face things in your life. But we need to understand that we can give thanks to God always. Why? Because he always causes us to triumph in Christ. Amen? Not sometimes, always. God's committed to your success tonight. Amen? Zechariah 2:8, it says, thus says the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that touched you toucheth the apple of my eye. Now listen to this. This is very powerful. God says when the enemy comes and touches you, it captures the attention of God. When the enemy comes and wars against your family, God arises. It says, you've touched the apple of my eye. For behold, I will shake my hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil unto thy servants. And you shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord of hosts. So understand that when the enemy tries to rise up against you, God will rise up against the enemy. Amen? And the reason why God will rise up against the enemy is because you have been created by God to be victorious. Amen? And it's not just your own strength that empowers you to be victorious. It's the strength of the Almighty God that empowers you to be able to be victorious. See, guys, you are God's sons and you are God's daughters. Amen? And for you to unlock the plan of God for your life, okay, you got to see yourselves not just as an ordinary human being. You know, because so many times we just see ourselves as just ordinary human beings. Okay? The truth is that you and I, we're sons and daughters of God. Amen? We're sons and daughters of God. And there is a law in creation. Do you know this? There's a law in creation. How many know God operates by laws? How many know there's the law of faith? God operates by the law of faith. Amen? There's laws in creation. Amen? And there's a law in creation that says everything produces after its own kind. Okay? Genesis 1:11, it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree, the yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. In other words, God said, listen, everything's going to produce after its own kind. You say, well, why is this important, Pastor? Because you need to understand the devil is always trying to hold you down. He's always trying to keep you from God's best for your life. He doesn't want you to know who you are. He doesn't want you to know what's been done inside of you. He doesn't want you to know who is on your side. Amen? And he wants you to not believe that God will work on your behalf. And so you need to understand that the truth is that you and I, we are sons and daughters of God. Amen? We're just not ordinary human beings. Well, but Pastor, I have flesh and blood. Yeah, we do have flesh and blood, but we also have a spirit. And we've been made in the image and likeness of God. God wants us to see as he sees. He wants us to believe as he believes. He wants us to live life as he would live life. Amen? Listen to what it says in John 10:30. Jesus, how many know Jesus came and he took upon flesh? In other words, he was just like us. Bible says he denied his deity, okay? And he walked as a man in the earth. And listen to what Jesus says in John 10:30. This is important, amen? Because I'm talking to you about being able to step into the plan that God has for your life, recognizing who you are in Christ so that the devil won't eat your lunch any longer. Amen? But that you can rise up and you can drive the devil out in Jesus' name. John 10:30, he says, I and my Father are one. Come on, listen to that. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. He says, I and my Father are one. And then the Jews, they got upset. They took up stones. The Bible says they wanted to stone him. And Jesus said to them, many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which works are you going to stone me? Then the Jews answered and said, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy and saying you being a man make yourself God. And Jesus answered them, is it not written in your own laws, I say, you are gods? And if he called them gods, to whom the word of God came and the scriptures cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctifieth and sent into the world, you are blasphemous because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do the works of my Father, if I do not the works of my Father, he says, do not believe in me. But if I do, though you believe me not, I believe for the work's sake that you may know and believe that the Father and me are one. And so understand there's a law of creation that everything produces after its own kind. A horse produces horses. Isn't that true? A duck produces a duck. A chicken, you're going to get a chicken. When God made us in his image and likeness, what was he going for? He was going for sons and daughters that were made in his image and likeness. So sons of God can be nothing else but sons of God. Come on, listen to what I'm saying. I pray that someone gets this tonight. Sons of God can be nothing less than sons of God. God is expecting us to act, to live, to walk, to talk, to think as sons of God. This law of creation says everything produces after its kind. When God produced us, He said, let us make man in our image. Come on, I want you to get this in your spirit. Because the devil tries to make you think that you're less. And if he can get you to think that you're less, then he can strip you of your authority. And he can strip you of your power in regards to dominion. You'll not think that you have power over him. Because that's what the devil wants to do. He wants you to make you think that you don't have power over him. Listen, we have power over him. Amen? We have power over him. See, God's given to us dominion. Psalms 82 verse 6 says, I have said, you are gods and you are the children of the Most High. Not that we're as God, but we are his offspring. Come on. Chuck's a constant. How many know my son, he's a constant. Why? Because I'm a constant. And he even said not too long ago, he said, oh my word, I'm starting to do things just like my dad. Why? Because he's a constant. Everything begins to produce after its kind. Come on. How many of you look at your children and you see you in them? Why? Because you produce after your kind. When God produced us, you know what he's expecting to see? He's expecting to see him in us. God wants to see him in us. Come on, listen to me. God wants to see him in us. Listen, Satan can't hold you down because you're sons of God. I remember when we used to swim, we had a youth group, and we used to swim, and my brother-in-law, he had a built-in pool, and we used to go over there, and, you know, we challenge all the young people, you know. Okay, we get a basketball, and you take the basketball, and you try to get in the water and try to bring it all the way down to the deepest part of the pool. Anybody ever try to do that? How many know it's not always easy? You can't really do it. Because what's going to happen, the basketball, regardless of how far you push it down, it's going to come right back up to the top. Okay? And you need to understand, because of who you are, no matter how far the devil tries to push you down, if you know who you are, as long as that basketball knows it's a basketball, you know what that basketball is going to do? It's going to pop right back to the top of the water. When you know who you are in Christ, when you know that you're a son of God, when you know that you've been made in his image and in his likeness, that you're his treasure, come on, that you've been taken out of darkness and you've been brought into the light, when you know who you are, that you have power to eject the devil out of your family, out of your home, out of your body, out of your finances, out of your life, that you could stand with authority. Why? Because God's given you dominion. When you grasp that truth, I'm telling you, every demon will bow to you. Every demon will bow to you. The reason why they don't bow to us sometimes, because we don't know who we are. Because as long as we don't know who we are, then the devil can come against us and he can rob and he can steal and he can destroy in our life. But when you recognize who you are, you're going to rise up in Jesus' name. So understand that God's wanting his church, which is you and I, to walk in the light of that revelation. He's wanting us to walk in that revelation. Amen. John 8:32 says, man, you're going to know the truth. The truth's going to set you free. Amen. Just not knowing a good Bible story, but it's knowing who you are in Christ. Amen. That's why in Ephesians 1:18 it says that the eyes of your understanding may be opened and enlightened. God wants you to see, not with these natural eyes. He wants you to see. He wants you to be able to see spiritually, that you may know what is the hope of the calling, what is the richness of the glory of his inheritance to the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us. When he raised up Christ from the dead, set him at his right hand, above what? Above all principalities, not some principalities, all powers, all might, all dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. He's put everything under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In other words, he's given the church, you and I, the same authority that he has. Listen, you can dominate your circumstances. Amen? You can stand against sickness. You can drive it out of your house. You can get poverty away from your territory. Listen, you have what you need to be able to experience the fullness of the covenant of God. Amen? And I guess our biggest thing that we have to overcome is the obstacle of unbelief. Because that's what gets us. Because we're like, it sounds good, Pastor Chuck, but, you know, when the rubber really hits the road, come on. But that we got to get over our unbelief. Amen? This is something you got to work at. It's the greatest obstacle to a person experience the blessings of the kingdom, unbelief. I mean, Jesus constantly was telling the disciples, guys, man, if you just believe, come on, wasn't that his catchphrase? If you just believe, you know, he was telling them over and over, if you would just believe, you know, I've said this before, but you know what we're supposed to do as Christians? You know what we're supposed to be? Believers. Come on, that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be believers. But what are we supposed to believe, Pastor, that we're just going to heaven? No, you're supposed to believe that you're sons of God. God's trying to manifest his sons in the earth. Come on. So we got to come against unbelief, amen? You got to meditate on the word. You got to get that in your spirit. Amen. You got to say what the kingdom says about you. Not what the devil says. Not what other people say. You got to say what God says about you. Amen. You got to declare what God says you have. I'm always declaring what God says I have in Jesus' name. You got to agree with what he's done for you. Amen. I mean, you got to let the reality of the kingdom get down into your spirit, get down into your heart, because to where you become aware of it every day. See, that's the thing. We're not aware of it every day. We get caught up in this world. We get caught up in all the things of life. You know what I'm saying? And you know, the enemy's coming at you this way, and you're experiencing this that way, and, you know, somebody says this something this way, you know, and there's all kinds of stuff that you're experiencing going through. And what happens, we don't become aware of the reality of the kingdom inside of us. There's a kingdom inside of you. Amen? That empowered you to walk with victory in life. Amen? Listen, the kingdom of God, it is present here and now. We're not waiting for the kingdom to come. The kingdom is here. Amen? I've said this before. It occupies every space where you and I walk every day. Amen. It occupies every space in this natural world that we live in, the kingdom of God. Amen. And listen, you may not be able to see it sometimes, but I'm telling you, it is here and it is real. God's just trying to get us to tap into it. So we've got to change the way we think. We've got to change the way we see life. We've got to accept only what God says we're to accept. Does that make sense? Because listen, the devil's trying to always get you to agree with him. Why things aren't going to work. Why this isn't going to change. Why this is going to always be the way it is. But we have to overcome that obstacle of unbelief. And we've got to believe what the kingdom of God says. You know, there's a story that I always like to go to, but it's, you know, it was Elisha. And remember his servant? There was the Syrian army. The king was always upset because the children of Israel were always getting the upper hand on him. And he was convinced that there was a spy in his camp. He got his commanders together and says, listen, somebody's telling the children of Israel what we're doing. And one of the guys said, listen, it's not that we have a spy. He says, what it is there's a prophet. His name is Elijah. And he sees everything that you're going to do in your bedchamber. And he tells the king of Israel. That's why they're always one step ahead of you. And so the king of Syria said, listen, I want you to go get him because we're going to kill him. And so they went out to go get him. You know the story. They went out to go get him. He sent out this vast army to get him. And the prophet got up that morning with his servant, and his servant looked out on the land. And there was chariots all over around the countryside of the enemy army. And the servant was beside him and says, what are we going to do? And Elijah said, listen, there's more that are with us than are with them. In other words, he was confident. He wasn't afraid at all. And he asked the Lord to open his servant's eyes. And the servant's eyes were open, the Bible says. And he saw flaming chariots of fire scattered across the whole mountainside of the host of heaven. So guys, you need to understand that this world that you and I occupy in the natural, if all we just see is the natural, we're really missing out on really what God's doing in our midst. Because there's more that's going on around us than you might see with the natural eye. And so we're supposed to see as sons of God. We're supposed to live and walk as sons of God. Amen? And so understand the kingdom of God. It is present here now. And listen, God, see, Elisha knew that God was going to prevail. Come on, God wants you to know that you're going to prevail. Amen? Because his kingdom is with you. You're sons and daughters of God. Amen? And understand what the kingdom of God, and I'm going to close with this. Because what the kingdom of God does, it creates breakthrough in this natural world. The kingdom of God brings breakthrough in this natural world. Amen? In other words, Jesus established God's kingdom when he came. Amen? And what he did, he showed the manifestation of the kingdom. And how did he show it? The blind saw, the deaf heard, the dead were raised. I mean, there was supernatural evidence of the kingdom of God. And so understand the kingdom of God, it creates breakthrough in this natural world. In other words, what could not take place in the natural when God's kingdom is present and somebody recognizes that kingdom is here and now, then it creates an opening to where breakthrough can come. Amen? You got to remember this. The kingdom of God does not draw its source from this world. Come on, listen to me. Because what the enemy makes us think sometimes, well, how is this going to work? How is this going to happen? How is this going to change? And we're trying to draw our source of change from this world. And we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to realize that there's a kingdom that's greater than this world. And the kingdom of God does not draw its source of power from this world. And when you recognize that you're a son of God, when you recognize you're a child of God, and begin walking in that revelation, that you're a new creation, that you're treasured by God, that you've been taken out of darkness and brought into the light, come on, that you've been seated in a high place with Christ, that you now have dominion and authority, you can eject the devil out of your life. The demons are subject. Remember the disciples, they came back? They were all excited. They said, Lord, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus was like, yeah, come on. It's the way it's supposed to be. Come on, that's the way it's supposed to be. Amen? So, God, it is time for us to take the limits off in regards to God in our life. Amen? It's time to take the limits off. Amen? I mean, because the kingdom of God, it is here right now. It is here right now for your life to bring breakthrough into your life. Amen? See, God has intended for us to continue the ministry of the kingdom here in this earth. He wants you to set people free. Amen? He's wanting to set people free. You were at a football game the other day. My grandson was, you know, he's playing flag football, so we had gone to the game. And so we're sitting there, and they got a row of people in front of us, and we're sitting, and everybody's in their little lawn chairs, and a man walks up, you know, and he starts talking to the people in front of us, me and my wife. And he was just standing up, you know. Now, we couldn't see, you know, and so the flesh would say, how many know the flesh would say something, okay? But, I didn't say anything with my flesh. I invited the man, and I gave him a seat. I said, hey, bud, I said, here's a chair. Why don't you sit, you know, so that we could see, actually. Here's a chair so that you could sit. And he said, I'm sorry. But anyway, it ended. And in his conversation he was having with the people in front, I heard that he was going to be having cataract surgery. And so when it was all said and done, everything was over, I said, listen, I heard that you were going to be having cataract surgery. I said, I'm going to believe with you that in Jesus' name that you're going to be healed and that God's going to touch you and that God's going to do something supernatural in your life. Listen, God's wanting to use you. God's wanting to cause his kingdom to be manifested in the earth. You got to recognize you have, listen, I believe that I have authority over cataracts. Not that I'm anything special, but I do know one thing, that I'm a son of God. I've been made in his image, John. I've been made in his likeness. We have authority over cataracts. Amen? And so I believe in Jesus' name, he's going to be healed and set free from those cataracts in the name of, and I believe he's going to give glory to God. He's going to know that God did something. Amen? I mean, Chris the other day, man, he had a broken hand. He was told, he came to church last Sunday with a cast. I wouldn't think he was going to be playing bass. But what y'all did, y'all prayed for him last Sunday, and what happened? I don't know. Maybe the kingdom of God showed up on Chris. See, that's what we need to understand. We need to understand who we are in Christ and just stop taking that stuff from the devil. Huh? I mean, let's not give him an inch. You know what I'm saying, Bill? I mean, let's not give him an inch. I mean, is it okay to say this? Instead of him giving us hell, let's give him hell. Huh? Woo-hoo, yeah. Come on. Why don't we do that? Let's rise up in Jesus' name. And let's just knock the snot out of him every time he raises his head. Come on. Let's just get it. Let's stand against him, Evans. Huh? Let's stand against the devil. Say, devil, you're not going to cross this line. There's a bloodline. We're sons of God. Jesus is our Lord. We've been transformed. We're changed. He's given us authority over you. And let's walk in that authority, church. I'm not saying that you're not going to have a fight. I'm not going to say everything's going to be cake and ice cream. But I'm going to tell you this. When it's all said and done, you're going to rise up like that ball. You're going to be on top. Amen? Why? Because he's created you to triumph always. Not sometimes, always. Thanks be unto God who always, does it say that in your Bible? I know it said it in my Bible. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. But what I can't do and what you can't do is give the devil opportunity in our lives. We got to resist him. I don't know, I've read it someplace. You resist the devil, and what happens? He flees. You resist him, and he flees. Come on. Not that he gets he flees. I mean, he's got to go. Amen? Come on, let's stand. Thank you, Lord.